This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Over the past week, the situation in the war-torn eastern Ukrainian regions has been tense. Russian-backed militants kept on violating the ceasefire and using heavy weapons banned by the Minsk agreements. Ukrainian forces have been using weapons not prohibited by Minsk in order to suppress the enemy activity, according to the Defense Ministry press service. One of the hottest spots over the past week was the industrial town of Avdiivka, 10 miles north of Donetsk. Ukrainian army positions near Avdiivka have been targeted throughout the week. To that, the enemy has shelled residential areas in its outskirts, using Grad-P portable rocket system. The missiles hit the southwestern suburbs of the frontline town. Fortunately, there were no casualties among civilians, yet the local railway contact line and high-voltage electricity supply line were damaged. The nearby Butivka coal mine, where militants have repeatedly used mortars, grenade launchers and heavy machine guns, has also been one of the hotspots this week, as well as the villages of Vodyane, Talakivka and other spots. In Luhansk region, the enemy activity was recorded mostly in the frontline areas west and northwest of Luhansk. On Wednesday, the village of Vrubivka has undergone heavy artillery shelling. Reporting from the village of Travneva in Donetsk region on Friday, Principal Deputy Chief Monitor of the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission to Ukraine emphasized on the hardships the war is causing for the civilian population of the region, expressing disappointment in the recent escalations and calling for peace.
Winter has come. The sites are no closer to opening additional entry-exit checkpoints to allow people more easily cross the contact line. They are no closer to resolving differences that have resulted in thousands of people without electricity, water and gas. It is time to put people first. It is time to implement Minsk in full. It's time for peace.
Alexander Hug. In the meantime, the Foreign Ministry has issued a statement on the occasion of the 43rd anniversary of the UN General Assembly resolution on the definition of aggression. Commenting on the statement, the Foreign Ministry's spokeswoman Mariana Betsa said,
"Четвертий рік поспіль МЗС України привертає увагу всієї міжнародної спільноти, наших партнерів до ухвалення цієї резолюції Генеральної асамблеї.
For the fourth year in a row, the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry is drawing attention to this resolution, which had enshrined the principles of international law forbidding any type of aggression. The actions by the Russian Federation make a full-scale act of aggression towards Ukraine, army-wise, economy-wise, and information-wise. We call on Russia to comply with the UN General Assembly's resolution, withdraw troops and deoccupy the Donbas region and the Crimean Peninsula," said Mariana Betsa.
You're listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The strategic partnership between Ukraine and Poland remains a foreign policy priority for both countries, said Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko during a press conference with President of Poland Andrzej Duda in Kharkiv, eastern Ukraine. Petro Poroshenko said,
"Питання стратегічного партнерства між Україною і Польщею залишається незмінним зовнішньополітичним пріоритетом.
The issue of strategic partnership between Ukraine and Poland remains a foreign policy priority for both Kyiv and Warsaw. I want to express my gratitude to Mr. Andrzej Duda for clear assurance of continued support for Ukraine in terms of countering the Russian aggression, carrying out reforms and the European integration," said President of Ukraine Petro Poroshenko. The Polish president said his country supports the Ukraine's initiative to deploy a UN peacekeeping mission in Donbas and stressed that such a mission should take control of the whole area of the self-proclaimed separatist republics, including the stretch of the Ukraine-Russia border that is temporarily controlled by separatists. Summing up his tête-à-tête negotiations with the Polish president, Petro Poroshenko stressed that the Ukrainian-Polish relations should not be influenced by historical events. The future should be built without mutual enmity and hatred. We must remember heroes of the past, honor the memory of innocent victims, but we should firmly move forward, Petro Poroshenko said. We cannot change history, but we can and we must change the present day and create better conditions for the future so that no one could plant the seed of hatred and hostility in the hearts of Ukrainians or Poles, the Ukrainian president said. The official reason for Duda's visit with his Ukrainian counterpart Petro Poroshenko in Kharkiv was to discuss the security situation in conflict-torn eastern Ukraine, but soothing strained bilateral relations in the subtext. Long-standing differences over massacres of Ukrainian and Polish civilians during the Second World War have risen to the surface in the past year, compounded by several incidents of vandalism at Polish war cemeteries and memorials in Ukraine. Polish Foreign Minister Witold Waszczykowski recently accused Kyiv of ramping up tensions by blocking the work of a Polish team searching for the remains of Polish war crime victims. The permission for such teams, as well as for searching, exhumation and reburial of remains of Poles who died in Ukraine and Ukrainians who perished in Poland during the 20th century, should be renewed, said Polish President Andrzej Duda during the joint press conference with Petro Poroshenko.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
Armed hostilities in Ukraine are on the rise again. Head of the UN Human Rights Monitoring Mission in Ukraine, Fiona Fraser, said this on Tuesday, presenting the latest UN report on human rights situation in this country. 15 conflict-related civilian deaths and 72 injuries were recorded from 16th of August to 15th of November 2017. Among the main causes of civilian casualties are mines, unexploded ordnance, booby traps and improvised explosive devices, which accounted for 60% of the total number of deaths and injuries. The return to increased fighting has resulted in more deaths and new damages to critical water infrastructure storing dangerous chemicals, which pose a grave threat to human life and the environment. Head of the UN Human Rights Monitoring Mission in Ukraine, Fiona Fraser, comments.
We are now entering the fourth winter of the conflict, which has an impact on the entire population of Ukraine, and in particular those living in the east, some 4.4 million. During the reporting period, the Human Rights Monitoring Mission continued to observe the presence of military and armed groups in densely populated areas, increasing the risk to civilian lives and property. Use of heavy weapons with indiscriminate effects, such as multiple launch rocket systems, also continued.
Fiona Fraser. The hostilities have never really stopped, affecting in one way or another the daily lives of millions in the conflict zone and in the country as whole, with the heaviest burden falling on those living in the immediate vicinity to the contact line. Based on 290 in-depth interviews with witnesses and victims of human rights violations and abuses, the report provides details of 20 individual cases of killings, deprivation of liberty, enforced disappearances, torture, and conflict-related sexual violence committed on both sides of the contact line. This caseload and the lack of justice illustrate the prevailing atmosphere of impunity for grave violations in the conflict zone. Despite continued lack of access to Crimea, OHCHR was able to document aspects of the human rights situation on the peninsula through interviews with witnesses and victims of human rights violations. The report describes cases of arbitrary searches and arrests, torture and infringements on fundamental freedoms which affected Crimean Tatars. Further, the United Nations Human Rights Office underlines that the Russian Federation, as occupying power, fails to respect the Ukrainian laws which were in place in Crimea in violation of international humanitarian law.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukraine expresses protest over new searches and detentions in the Crimean Peninsula. Speaker of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Mariana Betsa, said this on Tuesday, commenting on the latest search in the house of Crimean Tatar activist, chairman of the Urozhayne Majlis and member of the regional Majlis, Ibrahim Osmanov. According to Osmanov's wife, the security operatives didn't present a search warrant. After the search, Osmanov's son, Rustam, was arrested and taken to the Bakhchisarai District Police Department. Currently, at least 70 people in the Russian-occupied Ukrainian peninsula have been jailed on the basis of politically motivated criminal cases and thus qualify as political prisoners. The number of political prisoners under the Russian occupation has grown from 5 in 2014 to 70 in 2017. In the meantime, Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko announced on Tuesday that Russian occupiers seized over 4,000 Ukrainian enterprises on the Crimean Peninsula.
У ході розслідування Кримська прокуратура отримала відомості про захоплення на півострові більше ніж 4,000 українських підприємств.
During the investigation, the Crimean Prosecutor's Office received information on the seizure of more than 4,000 Ukrainian enterprises on the peninsula. An overall estimate of the damage caused by such actions to the state of Ukraine is tens of billions of US dollars. At this point, we have carried out all the necessary procedures in order to announce that according to our legislation, this property was seized and accordingly, any change in its legal status will be prosecuted in accordance with Ukrainian and international laws, said Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
The Ukrainian Film Days kicked off in London on Monday. The event invites British viewers to explore the best in contemporary Ukrainian cinema. The festival aims to get Ukraine known around the world not only from political news and headlines, but also for its rich culture that has been on the rise for the last couple of years despite the ongoing conflict in the East. The goal of events like the Ukrainian Film Days in London is to showcase Ukrainian cinema to the fullest over a couple of days and to show the audience that Ukrainians are not strangers to them, that we have similar problems, similar needs and aspirations. Four films were carefully selected by the festival's curators to be shown to the British audience. These films speak different cinematographic languages, but tell stories about one global theme, which is Ukraine. General producer of Ukrainian Film Office Insight Media Volodymyr Filipov comments.
По Європі зараз відбувається дуже багато днів українського кіно. Чотири дня буде тривати програма.
These days the Ukrainian film festivals are taking place throughout Europe. The program of the four-day event features Taras Tkachenko's The Nest of the Turtle Dove, Ахтем Сейтаблаєв's Their Prayer, the Микита Кожум'яка animation and Зазі Буадзе's Red, said Володимир Філіпов. One of the most noteworthy entries in the program is The Nest of the Turtle Dove, which won the award for Best Feature in the Ukrainian competition of the 7th Odessa International Film Festival. The story centers around Darina, who returns to Ukraine after spending 2 years in Italy, working as a maid for a rich and newly divorced lawyer. This psychological drama about returning home offers both a fragile personal story and a strong statement on the subject of economic migration.
And with that, we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.